You know, we had talked about one of the requirements that God requires us to be consistent. Consistent. And we talked about the key of consistency. And the key of consistency is the desire to please God. So if you have the desire to please God, you'll be consistent in all things. In other words, you won't do things that are according to your convenience. You do things that are required from God. That's why it's important in fellowship and being involved in Bible studies and certain things, because God requires us to be connected to the body. So there are areas that, you know, it's amazing how people will be consistent to go to work because they get a cash reward. But consistency for the things of God, they only do what's convenient for them. And the key, again, of consistency is the desire to please God. Because truly, if your desire isn't to please God, or you want to please God when you feel like it, then the reverence of God isn't there either. So that means you're either allowing a God to use you, or you want to use God. And God is exposing a lot of this right now, because God in your life must come to a place where He's just not God. He's Father. He's Father. Because see, He's my dad. He's not just God anymore to me. I mean, I know Him, but it's an awesome thing to know that my dad is God. I mean, hallelujah. And when you get that revelation that your Father is God, it's not that God is your Father, it's your Father is God. There is that relationship with Him, because there are many people who've read about Him, heard about Him, met Him, but don't know Him. And He wants us to a place where we so know Him that we know His truth, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. That He is faithful to complete what He started. That we have dominion over all things, including ourself, over thoughts, over everything. See, there's that area, which is, we talked about, as the key of consistency, is a desire to please God and stop using God and let God use you. In that, there is a reward of being consistent. And by being consistent in things, God begins to reveal things to you, and revelations and dreams and envisions, and as you're consistent. Now, of course, He may reveal a dream or vision for someone that's not consistent, and it's usually fire and brimstone. Believe me, I used to get a call from this individual that would be traveling all over, and she'd call, and we knew what she was doing, and she keeps saying, "Man, I see fire every time I get high. Hello." And she'd get clean for a few days, and then we'd hear from her every few months. And she'd call us and tell us about her visions of fire and brimstone and about hell and demons. And it's like, man, if you don't get, you know, go come and get help or get help, that's going to be your home. But the desire to please God wasn't consistent. See, to be consistent, that desire must be there. And when that desire leaves, you are disciplined to replace it with a desire. Does everybody get this? See, people look at it as a desire, as a feeling or emotion. It's a choice. Same thing with love. Love is a choice. That's why the world gets divorced on every little whim, when they come in disagreement or people get offended and all this other stuff. See, you choose to love that person, regardless of what. You know, those fuzzy feelings aren't going to stay forever at every moment. If we all were led by how we feel, there wouldn't be any marriage left. Hello? There wouldn't be anybody working in that one place. Glory to God. That's why the Bible says that you walk by faith,
not by sight. Now, understand that faith is not something that's unseen. It's something that is seen in its spiritual sight. Faith, again, is not blind. It's walking in the Spirit, isn't it? Faith is walking by sight, not assumption, by sight in the area that you spiritually see. And by walking by faith and not by carnal sight, you're walking by spiritual sight, that is continued and established as you're consistent. Because God begins to reward you in your consistency. One of the major things we talked about being consistent is prayer. Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Well, it's amazing where people say they're seeking God, but all things are being taken from them. Well, then something isn't right because they're really not seeking God with their true heart. They're probably going to Him with a Santa Claus request. They're not submitting to Him as spirit, soul, and body. So many people, I don't know why we're going to this, but we are. So many people go to prayer with their Bible. They think that prayer is reading their Bible. That is not prayer. Prayer is you and Him. It's amazing. I get people telling me, yeah, I've been in prayer all morning long. Really? What have you been doing in prayer all morning long? I've been reading my Bible. That is not prayer. That is devotionals. It is not prayer. I go to prayer. I do not bring my word. I go speak to the word. Hello. I want to know the person. I know enough about reading about them. I want to know them. And I want to know Him more and more and more. And the more I want to know Him more and more and more, the more He reveals Himself more and more to me. And then in so doing that, His character is being exchanged for my old one. Is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. Would you read it with me? And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are what? Sufficient of ourselves who think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as what? Ministers of the new covenant. So what are you ministers of? The new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the what? Of the Spirit. For the letter what? Kills, and the Spirit what? Gives life. So we are ministers of the Spirit. Is everybody okay on that? You are not ministers of the letter. You are ministers of the Spirit. You are the walking epistle. How many of y'all know that the Holy Spirit wrote this Bible? Amen. So if He wrote this Bible and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, is the Word in you? You betcha. But people are becoming more and more dependent on the letter than they are on the Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us that we are to be led by the Spirit. Is everybody okay? I'm not telling you not to read your Bible. So don't let the enemy infiltrate that arena. But what I'm sharing with you is that your relationship should be intense in the Spirit. Has everybody got it? In the Spirit. We are ministers of the Spirit associated with the new covenant. So everything of the new covenant is in the Spirit. All the promises of God, everything. That's when Jesus came and He said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to bring you life and life more abundantly. Then He left His Spirit for me and you. So that we could be led by the Spirit. There are times when I'd like to tell people, put your Bible away for a week and seek God. I believe that person would change because they'd want to hear more, they'd want to see more, and they'd be willing to receive more. Okay, so does everybody got it? We are ministers of what? The Spirit. So if we are ministers of the Spirit, that means that we are servants to the anointing. If we are servants to the anointing, that means in this right now that the Word of God must be backed by the anointing. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. Hello. In this, God begins to do something with us. The more you're in the Spirit, the more you're able to what? See. The more you're in the Spirit, the more you have faith. The more you're in the Spirit, the more you're filled with joy. The more you're in the Spirit, the more things you get revelation and impartations. This is not about religion. The Bible says that God is Spirit. The more you're in the Spirit, the more you'll know Him. In Psalm 25, would you go there? The more you're in the Spirit, the more you will maintain the fear and reverence of God. You'll have a desire to please Him, and you'll become a very consistent individual, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, who is the mentor. In Psalm 25 and verse 8, let's read it. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He what? Teaches sinners in the way. The humble He what? Guides in justice. And the humble He teaches His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. How y'all want to be taught in the way He chooses and not your own? Then there must be an area of reverence. Fear of the Lord is reverence, respect, and honor. Reverence, respect, and honor. In other words, you're not using God to promote you or to get what you want. You're allowing God to use you. Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. He Himself shall dwell in what? Prosperity. And His descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with what? Those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Now we see here again that the fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. The word says that the Lord teaches those who walk uprightly. Those who fear the Lord. He says that He will dwell with them. He will allow them to prosper. And He will have an inheritance for them. It says that, and He will reveal His secrets. In other words, these are hidden mysteries. These are revelations. These are visions, dreams. Things that are the deep things of the Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe. In verse 9 it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His what? Spirit, for the Spirit does what? Searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. That's why people who are just bound by the letter can't go any deeper. In fact, your understanding of the Word, if it's not understood, in other words, knowledge is a representation of truth that is understood. The Word of God is true, but if it's not understood, it's not truth. Has everybody got it? The Word of God is true. But if it's not understood, it's not truth. Has everybody got it? It's important. Because that's where limitations come to people, because they limit themselves by trying to interpret the Word of God in their carnal understanding and not in the Spirit. And what it does is it brings limitations on an individual because they're bound by the letter and not the Spirit. Only the author of this Word can give you the truth. And He is called the Spirit of Truth. That's why it's important to have fellowship in the Spirit. Why? Because he's the one that's going to reveal the deep things to you. Now, is he going to reveal the deep things to you if you're not consistent? No. Why? Because he knows you'll just founder them. It's like putting your pearls before swine. So there's an area where God tests you out to see if you're consistent before he releases things to you. You know, people want to do things for God right away, but they ain't earned it yet. I mean, the first thing I want, everybody wants to do something for God when they get first saved, don't they? Everybody, yeah! I mean, that's something that's imparted in us. But God is saying, the first thing I want you to do is get cleaned up. Get filled up. Get to know me. Stop trying to use me and let me use you. So everything is associated in God's timing, isn't it? Let me share with you the most important thing he wants you to know is him. Not just reading about him, but knowing him. To know him is the most awesome thing. You know, you what if all the Bibles were taken away from everybody and they took them? Think about it. So many people are dependent on their Bible instead of the person. You know, when I first got saved, I was afraid to read the Word. Because I was afraid it would interfere with my relationship with him. See, when I first got saved, in my visitation from the Lord, he would come and visit me. And my communication and fellowship with him was like a person to person. And when he introduced me to the Holy Spirit, who I called Buddy, we were best friends. We still are. But I don't call him Buddy anymore. I found out later that it was disrespectful, but it didn't bother him because it was done in an innocent way. Now I call him Holy Spirit. In honor and respect. And reverence. But in my first times and first born again experience, man, I wanted him so badly. I wanted to know him more and more. And I saw people who carried the Bible didn't act correctly as I thought as someone who's supposed to know God. Now, I didn't know any difference, because when I got saved, I thought that same thing happened to everybody who got born again. I thought everybody got slammed, dunk, taken to the other side. I thought, whoa, man. So I thought that happened to everybody. But everybody has the opportunity to get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, because it's a promise to everyone. First contact, yes. But in that, I wanted to maintain my relationship with him. I did not want to maintain a relationship with a letter. I wanted to maintain a relationship with the person. And then he began to tell me, okay, now it's time to learn my word, to teach it. But you're not going to teach it according to man's intellect. You're going to teach it according to the wisdom of the Spirit. And it's different. And in that, because the Word of God is supposed to be utilized as a confirmation of what the Spirit is saying. I do not go to the Word to look for God. I go to God to look for Him. And then He'll usually say something to me that will confirm it in the Word, or tell Him, He'll speak to me through the Word in the arena that after we've spent time together. Or He'll say, why don't you go read this today? Okay, and I'll know that he's telling me something. I don't play Bible roulette. Hey. Now, unless I'm told to, because there's times when he says, just go open the Bible. I'll go, okay, and there it is, bam. But many people live on a Bible roulette relationship, and that's not what it's about. A relationship is a communion. It's not a guess. Now, in this, God begins to reveal secrets to you. And in these secrets, man, that brings you even closer to Him. Because when you get revelations from God, it makes you a little bit step in more. Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, another one. Oh, yes. You know. And it causes you to want more of Him. You know. When God speaks to you, He doesn't speak to you in an area that causes fear. And what I mean by fear is horror. He doesn't speak to you in an area where He causes anxiousness. And He doesn't speak to you in a downcast way or criticizing way. He speaks to you in love. He speaks to you as a child, even when He chastens you and corrects you. But your relationship with Him is in the communion and how the language that you'll understand Him. So you've got to learn that, don't you? As you walk with Him in the Spirit. And as you're faithful in all of these areas and you're consistent in all these areas, as He begins to reveal these secrets to you, these secrets are not to puff you up. These are mysteries to grow you up. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. In Him we have what? Redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and what? Prudence. Having made known to us the what? Mystery of His will. That was a secret, wasn't it? According to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of His glory. So we see that it was the mystery of His will. Now, in this, it talks the same thing as a secret, isn't it? It's something that God reveals. It's a revelation. Now, so many times people are going, "Oh, Lord, Your will be done." That's cool. "Oh, Lord, what is Your will for me?" Well, His will is going to be revealed to you through the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? It's going to be revealed to you through the Spirit. His will. It is a mystery. Now, we know that there is a corporate will, but then there's a personal will, and that is your function in the body of Christ. But in the meantime, sometimes you're waiting for God to reveal this mystery of His will for you, but you're in it already. And you're like going, "Man, Lord, what am I supposed to do?" And He says, "You're doing it." When you need to know more, I'll let you know. Other than that, just keep doing it. Because His will is always associated with training. Always. His will is associated with training. He does not release the next step of the will until you have fulfilled the training of His will present. So we know this, that first of all, how many know God's will is past, present, and future? Amen. There's an eternal will, isn't there? Well, eternal will means all the way back and all the way forward and so forth. So in this, God begins to reveal His will. Now, not only that, He begins to reveal and bring understanding of the will of His past. These are some secrets that He can reveal to you. In fact, if you read in the Old Testament, He'll begin to reveal His will in the past of what his purpose was, because the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Same thing when the Lord established the seven feasts of the Lord in the Old Testament. Well, you know, they did a long rehearsal. But only Jesus could fulfill the feasts. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled the first four feasts. Right? And the next feast has still got to be fulfilled. But the Old Testament was associated with a rehearsal. It was all a shadow of that which was to come. But see, you won't get this stuff trying to figure this out carnally. It must be led by the Spirit, because the Spirit will teach you the deep things of God. He will reveal to you the will of the old covenant. Because His will is omnipresent. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little deeper. You ready to go? Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 1. Let's read it. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by what? Revelation. That's something revealed, isn't it? It's a mystery. It's a secret. How by revelation he had made known to me the what? Mystery. As I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, when you read that you may understand my knowledge, well, you're not going to understand it without the Holy Ghost. You're going to look at this Bible as another book that you're going to try to study instead of a revelation that it is the voice of God speaking to you. Hello? Praise God. Is everybody okay? By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. No other ages was this made known. I meant in them, what I mean by made known is understood. Because even in the prophets of the Old Testament, they spoke things they didn't understand. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the what? By the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be what? Fellow heirs of the same body and a partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. Oh, glory. In other words, there was a set time, predestined time, that God would reveal His hidden mysteries of Christ, the anointing. It's our responsibility to know the mysteries of God. It's our responsibility to search out God, to seek Him so He can release these mysteries or secrets, revelations. And they become nuggets that bring encouragement. They increase your faith. They stir you up. And they want you, sometimes you want to kick another devil out of somebody. Or out of you. Sometimes it exposes things in your life that God wants to reveal to you. But if your heart is hardened, you won't get them. You won't be able to receive it. You'll hear it, but it won't change you. Colossians chapter 1. So would be some of these hidden mysteries of His will be associated with future events. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 24. Would you read it, please? I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his what? And how is it being revealed to his saints? Through his Spirit. Wow. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, doing what? Warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The mystery that was hidden from the ages, generations, but is now being revealed by his Spirit. God willed to make known Christ in you. In other words, what he's allowed is eternity to dwell in you. Eternity to dwell in you. You know, many people don't even realize eternity is dwelling in them. But I sense in my spirit in a stirring where God is beginning to cause us to look into deeper areas. I mean, there's times when I really sense the separation between the child of God and the old man. It's almost like there's a separation, a stirring. See, the anointing separates the old from the new. And the more you get filled with the Spirit, the more the old man is put underneath your feet. That's one of the reasons why he gave you the gift of tongues, too, so you can pray in the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit. And what happens is the more you're filled with the Spirit, the more it's almost like there's that separation, because the Bible says that we groan not to be more clothed with the world, but unclothed with the world and more clothed with the glory of God. So there's a groaning in us that's happening. We want to know more. We yearn in an opportunity and times to be home. There's a time when reality that you truly don't belong here. But the reality is that you're not of the world. You've been taken from the world, even though you're in this flesh suit, the earth suit. But you know within you there's the other child, the child of God. It's shaking around sometimes in these bodies, you know. But eternity in us, past, present, and future. He said, Christ we preach to warn and teach so all can come to a perfect man, or so that the new man can be made perfect. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. It's right after Joel. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Ooh, nice. Would you read it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he what? Reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. In other words, God begins to prepare his children, the body, by revealing things to the prophets of God, so they begin to speak these things, and the Spirit begins to speak to all of us. Because everything must be spoken in. God spoke in creation, so forth. Now, since we have the same Spirit, right, as the prophets, now prophets, there's a specific office of prophet. It's not anybody can prophesy. Anybody can give a word. But there is a specific office of prophet. And in that there is training and so forth. But in that specific office is different than anybody just prophesying. But can God reveal to you? Amen. He's revealing to all of His saints, isn't He? But many people think that if God reveals something to them or they prophesy that they're a prophet, and that's not true. Is everybody okay? There is a specific office of prophet. God does nothing without revealing secrets to His servants, the prophets of the Old Testament. In other words, He's still speaking the same way to all. But He's now speaking to all of us through the Spirit. Has everybody got it? So He's speaking to all of us through the Spirit. He's revealing things to us. There's many times that the Holy Spirit will reveal something to me, and the next thing I know, I'll see something or hear something that a prophet is already speaking it. It doesn't make me a prophet, but it's the same Spirit. But His position is to speak these things in to the body, to the nations, so forth. But many times the Holy Spirit will give something and then a week or two later or whatever it is, I'll have confirmation about something. Now, He's speaking to all of us, but only the upright are going to hear. The upright are going to interpret. God resists the proud, but He gives what? Grace to the humble. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to what? Visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows, such as one was caught up to where? The third heaven. Which Paul is talking about this, and he's saying, what? 13 years ago? 14 years ago. He's saying, 14 years ago, man, I'm going to tell you what happened to me 14 years ago. I was caught up. I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. And verse 3. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise. And he heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, he did not understand. It was way, way too much for him. Of such one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So in this, Paul was taken up to the third heaven. He heard things and most likely saw things that he couldn't express in common language. So I want you to look at something in this arena, that the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, is just not a voice. Paul was taken up to the third heaven. The Bible tells us that God created everything by spoken. He spoke it in, right? So the voice of God is just not a voice. It can be a place. Are you listening? The voice of God will bring you and speak to you in a vision. Paul saw the voice of God being manifested. Did you ever hear the saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words? Something to that degree. But when God can sometimes speak to you, sometimes He knows that you'll get it better in a vision. He'll speak to you right in that vision, and you'll know. And there are things that are happening right now, which we're calling future visions, that God is revealing future events to many individuals all over. In fact, if you look at all the things in the last year in the movie theaters, everything is about future events and disasters and all kinds of things that's going on. And I mean, 2012, the Book of Eli, and there's and Matrix and all of these other, I mean, all of these things, God is speaking. His voice is speaking in videos. His voice is speaking in visions. See, because many of the unrighteous are not willing to hear or receive, but they're willing to pay for entertainment. So God allows them to go into the theaters to get the entertainment so that He can speak to them. So He's speaking all over right now in an intense. He's speaking future visions. Future visions are visions of the future. He's warning. He's teaching. He's showing things that are happening. We're seeing all kinds of things happen. God is shaking the earth. He's getting everybody's attention. Anything that can be shaken, He's going to shake. Even disasters, God is speaking. God is speaking louder and louder daily. And He's warning, and He's teaching through vision, which is revelation or a mystery, through secrets. It's all happening right now. You're alive to see some of the greatest moves of God, to see the things that He's doing. You know, so many people take things out of context in the area of, you know, we see in earthquakes. That's waking people up. It's too bad the places that it's happening. We're seeing disasters. We saw towers come down. We're seeing tsunamis. We're seeing all kinds of natural disasters. We're seeing rebellion uprisings. We're seeing all kinds of things that are happening right now. Hatred is being released in a tremendous way. That's all a fulfillment of the Word of God that has been prophesied. Brother against brother. Kingdom against kingdom. Nation against nation. Earthquakes, disasters, famines. All of these things are beginning and increasing. But I'm telling you, God is speaking greatly to His people, and greatly to those who are supposed to be His people. Would you turn to Acts 16? In verse 8, would you read it with me? Well, let's start at verse 7. Let's read it, okay? After they came to Messiah, they tried to go where? Into Bithynia. But the what? Spirit did not permit them. Were they listening? So passing by Messiah, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul. Now I want you to understand this. The vision came after they were obedient. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Well, Paul had this awesome vision, and he's like, "Whoa, man, I know where we've got to go." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia. Now, why? Concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Remember, the Holy Spirit stopped them from going one place. Paul got a vision to go to another place. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothra, and next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord, who what? Worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us a way of salvation." This is called a familiar spirit. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then a multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Now, you got to remember how this started. This started by the Holy Spirit telling them not to go to one place, and Paul having a dream to go to another place. Now, the dream was only revealed to go to the place. It didn't tell you all of it, did it? You think that they would have gone there if they would have known the rest of this? See, many people, many individuals take the vision or the dream and begin to expand it themselves instead of letting God be God. In other words, He'll let you know when it's time to know. Other than that, we're to be obedient to what He's given us right now. Now, we know that they were in jail, and in verse 24, "And having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." It's amazing how God positions you. But what a way to do it, huh? Now, they weren't in jail because they broke any law. Hello? They didn't even know why they put them in jail. I mean, they weren't in, you know, they didn't go to court or nothing. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing prison doors open, supposing prisoner had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself," because he knew he had been killed. "But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do not do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" All from a vision that said, "Go to Macedonia." Hello. See, you never know the area and the end result of what's happening there. If God wanted you to know, He would have revealed it. Now, there are some things that He wants you to see things all the way through and certain decisions. But when God tells you to do something, you do it. But you better make sure it's God. Because if it's not God's time, it's not God. Go to Book of Amos in chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Is everybody there? In verse 1. "Thus the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit." And what did He say? And He said, "Amos, what do you see?" So I said, "A basket of summer fruit." Then the Lord said to me, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere. They shall be thrown out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail. See, but there's something that the Lord said to Amos. He said, "What do you see?" His purpose was to bring him vision. And when he saw the basket, he explained it to him. That is vision. It was a vision of future. Now, God speaks to us in vision of present, and He also speaks to us in vision of future, and He can speak to you in vision of past. Would you go to John chapter 1? But thank God we walk by faith, right? Which is what? Spiritual sight. John chapter 1. You gotta see, God is always asking you, what do you see? If you're listening. John chapter 1. Future visions. Yeah. In verse 47. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And we are now. We are. What did he spoke to? He said this in the arena that he saw him. Jesus saw this already way before he even came here. Has everybody got it? It was a future vision, wasn't it? But he saw this. See, God will speak to you in many ways and tell you and prepare you in visions and dreams. And there are more and more going out right now. Dreams of the future. Visions of the future. And preparation. Let me share something with you also, which is important. What he may share with you what you're doing now is not what you're really going to end up doing. See, you cannot get caught up in the arena of what you're doing right now is always in preparation for what he's getting you to prepare to do. Everything is a preparation for the next thing. Everything's a preparation for the next thing. But if you never fulfill what he's preparing you for now, you'll never get to the next thing. You'll stay stuck. Is everybody okay? John 16. John 16, verse 12. What does it say? "I still have many things to what? Say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you what? Things to come." Now, can he tell you things to come in vision? Yes, a majority of the time, that's what he does. Vision. Dreams. That's what he usually speaks to you. Why? Because he can give you one dream or vision that can speak tremendous words instead of you trying to figure out everything he's saying. He's saying it to you. His voice is picturized. "And he will glorify me in whatever he will take of what is mine and what? Declare to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So get prepared. He'll guide you to all truth, and a majority of the time he will do this is vision. Dreams, visions. You will see things. I'm telling you, you can stand there and all of a sudden you'll see something. But you got to be alert to these things. You can't just ignore them and put them aside. I could be standing or talking with someone and all of a sudden I'll see something. Bam. Now whether I'm supposed to expose it or reveal it, it's up to God. But if you're really seeing, you're really looking, you're really listening, you'll see it every time. You'll know. You'll know. God does not want you not to know. He wants you to know. Why? Would he want you to step in the trap? Would he want you to get snared by your enemy? No. That's why it's important to be in fellowship, isn't it? One of the things the enemy always likes to do is get people out of fellowship. And the reason why they got moved out of fellowship is because they're already blinded. And the heart's already hardened. Because always a hardened heart will blind the eyes. They'll blind spiritually. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Of course, pride will do that too. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read it, verse 16. But we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a what? Voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture of us any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The voice from heaven is now the voice of the present and future. He is the voice of the Spirit. His voice comes in pictures and dreams and visions, and is releasing future visions all over. I heard a voice that was profound to me. And when after my visitation from the Lord, and one day I was sitting in the living room and I didn't understand anything except for I knew Dad. And I was there with my wife and we were talking about something, and all of a sudden this voice said to me, "I chose you." How many of y'all know you all chose? And he said to me again, "I chose you. I've chosen you." And I didn't understand it. And I kept saying, "For what?" And because I didn't know anything. I'm about a week old. Who chose me for what, man? I mean, what can I do? I mean, I chose you. But the voice that chose me spoke through me to me. Everybody got it? The voice that spoke to me spoke through me, to me. It was the same sound, but different character. Then the voice came in a vision. And I had dreams. But God is speaking to His people in a great way right now. Again, the voice does not come to you in an area of condemnation, guilt, fear. It comes to you in an area of peace. It comes to you in an area of encouragement. It comes to you in an area of humbleness. His voice will never puff you up. It will always humble you. The voice of the enemy always puffs you up. It promotes pride, which will harden the heart. God is speaking in future visions right now. And from this night forward, it is required that we be more sensitive to these things and not just cast them aside. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 10. So is the book of Revelation a vision of the future? Yes. It's also a vision of the past. And a vision of the present. But you will not be able to discern it without being in the Spirit. See, the Word of God speaks past, present, and future. Every bit of this can speak at any time. But if you're in the Spirit, you'll know. But only if you're in the carnal understanding, you won't get it. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. To Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who was and he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. So he was telling John in vision, three-dimensional, past, present, and future. And that's what God is speaking. He can speak better to his children in the arena of vision. Has everybody got it? That's why the Bible says that many times individuals, he says, he'll pour out his Spirit on all flesh, and they will prophesy and dream dreams and have visions and so forth. But that's through the Spirit, isn't it? So it's important that you are filled with the Spirit of God. It's important that you are consistent. It's important. And sometimes it's a matter of life and death, isn't it? And I want to close with Revelation 15. Now, this doesn't make anybody better than anybody. Do you understand that? God is trying to get a message out, and he'll use a donkey if he has to. That's why he chose me. Yeah. No. In Revelation 15 and verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Now, they were standing on the sea of glass. Who overcame? They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple, the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with the golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were complete. What a vision. That hasn't been fulfilled yet. There'll be the tribulation time. You know, many people are afraid to read the book of Revelation because they're afraid they can't understand it. Well, the same Spirit that revisited John envisioned as the same Spirit that's in you to understand it. It's the coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger that causes limitations. Well, I can't do that. Oh, really? Who told you that? The Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The limitations must be broke so the release of vision can be established. The limitations, they've got to be broke. And they are broke by the anointing. The agreements of the voice and a stranger must be severed so that we can go further. God is opening doors to walk into for all of us. You'll begin to see more and more things begin to happen. See, when you see them in the Spirit and they manifest in the natural, it won't shake you. You'll know what to do. You'll stand. You won't be moved. You won't be shaken. You'll stand forth and you'll be positioned to rescue. That's what God is preparing us for now. To be positioned to rescue. Amen? Father, we thank you for your words tonight. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, let the seed grow and bear fruit for your glory in each and every one. And I pray tonight, Lord, that everyone would be encouraged in the desire to want to please you, to want to surrender to you, submit to you, and to be filled with your Spirit. In obedience in every area, not in convenience, but in by being led. That we may be consistent and earn your trust, that you would speak to us in mysteries and secrets, revelations and visions. I pray this for each and every single one here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.